Call the Great River Regional Library Board of Trustees to order. Adopt or amend the agenda. We got a couple changes and a deletion. We're going to drop 11.2. We'll have no discussion on that tonight. And we'd like to move 11.3 and 12.1 ahead of the closed session that's regarding labor negotiations. That would be the changes that the staff has got.
Move approval
of
the agenda with those modifications.
Approval with the agenda with the modifications.
I'll second.
Laura. Laura, okay. All in favor?
Aye.
Approved, opposed, carried. Approval of the minutes from January 20th. And let's do the February 17th, 2026 meeting. We can do them together. You're on page 3 and 9.
Motion to approve them. I didn't see any issues.
Okay, there's been a motion. Is there a second?
I'll second.
And a second by Al. Any other discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carried. Open forum, do we have anybody? Pam is on here, but I just talked to her, and she's going to comment on when we do 11.3 on that. The financials. Who's going to do that?
Do you want to take that, Addie?
Abby?
The agenda in front of me, but it's the asking for the approval of the January and February 2026 financial statements, as well as the list of bills for February, March, and the March addendum, as well as a corrected January list of bills. Nothing actually changed on the January list of bills. It was just a resubmitting within our internal software for an audit. Auditing, preparing for next year. So,
that was on 5.1. That is action item.
Yeah.
Yep.
Is there approval?
Motion to approve.
Is there a second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Did you do 5.2 too right away?
So is this for all of it?
Yeah. Is this for all of them or?
I thought we could do, I'll do 5.2 too. Motion to approve.
And the bills on 5.3? The financial report?
Okay.
Yep, 5.2 and 5.3. Motion to approve.
Okay, so you change your second?
Yep, approve.
Okay. So we're approving 5.1, 5.2, 5.3.
Sure, yes.
A second.
Okay. Any other discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Carried. Consent agenda.
Speak quickly about that.
Okay, go ahead.
On page 11 is the signatory sheet for the Minnesota Public Library annual report approval form. If anybody wants to read the report, this is it right here. It's basically what we are required to do by the state in order to show our business is, what we do, information about the libraries, all that kind of stuff. So if anybody wants to see the whole thing, we just don't make 15 copies of it, though. But it is here and available. So that is 6.1. And then 6.2 is the Arts and Cultural Heritage Fund completion report for fiscal year 2024. And we just need approval of both.
Approval on them?
Yep, as a consent agenda.
Okay, as a consent agenda, this does need approval.
I'll move to approve.
Is there a second?
Second.
Any other discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Carried. Communications?
All right. So at... At the last board meeting, we had talked about kind of showing fiscal responsibility and how we communicate what we do and how we try to be efficient and effective in using public funds. And so the leadership team worked on a couple of things with that, which is on page 21 and 22. So on 21 is kind of an infographic of fiscal responsibility and talks about fiscal efficiency, streamline operations, responsible fiscal management, continuous improvement and revenue, and providing equitable service for all. And so that's just nice colors, looks pretty. The next page, page 22, kind of talks about those things in more of a narrative format and how Great River, we serve our six-county region at a per capita cost of $20.43 versus the state average is $48.59. We try to maximize taxpayer value while maintaining really high-quality public service. And goes over three areas of that, the model for resource collaboration, kind of like we've talked, that we have a very collaborative model. We're a consolidated system. We share resources, and that means we have efficiencies that are built into the whole. We work closely with our city partners who provide the buildings, and because we have a floating collection, that means that they, in turn, don't have to make as big of buildings because they don't have to provide a space that can serve the whole community at once. They just have to hold their share of the library, and what people need will float to them and leave in that way. So our efficiency model is good for us, and it's also good for our city partners in that way. We continually seek efficiencies that benefit our taxpayers, and that could be evaluating software and services to identify efficiencies. We are currently in the process of evaluating internet station use. A decade ago, we could not find enough internet stations for people because everybody needed it, but now everybody has a portable computer in their pocket. And so usage has gone down, and so we are looking at, rather than just replacing everything, we're evaluating what do we actually need to replace and what are the metrics that we can create that help guide those decisions. And then we just talked some about this in the Finance Committee as well, but we look for alternative revenue streams that don't create financial barriers for the public access and reduce reliance on public funds and strengthen these partnerships. And as we've discussed before, and I've had in a previous board document, we regularly review staffing levels, and that is at all levels, and I think that's really important to say. If you walk through the admin wing upstairs right now, you'll see three empty offices. That's because when we opened, we had three more administrative staff up there. So those reductions at staff level, they happen at every single level. Anytime we have a vacancy, we review, do we need these hours allocated in the way that we have them, or do they need to go somewhere else? So we're constantly looking at questions like that about what do we need and how do we make that work as well as possible. Are there efficiencies that we can find? And that happens at every single level from aid to on up. And then when we have, as you all have seen, when we have reserves or surplus funds, we try to make use of those. We roll those into supporting the county signatory share the following year or things like that. We use those surplus funds in as smart of a way as we can in order to make sure that we're making that good use of dollars. So the request was made to have something like this that folks could take out and help us share the word on your different county commissioner boards or with different stakeholders about what Great River really does. So this is what we put together. This is a draft. If anyone has suggestions about what might make it better or more useful, we are more than happy to hear.
Any questions on this? I got a question. Could you repeat those numbers at the beginning that you said for the state and Great River?
Our six-county region We serve at a cost of $20.43 per capita. The state average is $48.59. And so that is not just the signatory share, that is the whole operating budget plus capital budget.
Okay. Mr. Chair?
Yes.
Question to Brandy. Is it because these other libraries across the state, a lot of them own their own buildings, or what drives their costs so heavily?
That is definitely part of it for some of them, but even, the information I've received is even when you take that out of the equation, we are still very efficient.
Good. Mm-hmm. That's good to hear.
Yeah.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Any other questions, sir? This was just informational?
Yep, just informational. And then we also have an item on the table for 7.2. There was a letter from Representative Perryman. Jamie and I visited with her during Library Legislative Day. We had a great conversation. And I can't find what I did with my... Sure. Nope.
No.
All right. There it looks like this. Okay. So she sent us a nice letter and a certificate, basically just thanking us for the library leadership that we provide in our area. So I just thought you all might want to see that, you know, Library Legislative Day, we had good conversations and that relationship continues. That's all. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Okay. Anything else?
Nope. That's it.
Presentations, anything?
No, we don't have one right
okay.
now.
Okay. Staff report?
Sure.
9.1.
Yep. So I'll go through some of these. Let's see. So, yeah, I tried to summarize a little bit of the things that we've been doing, as I said, and Addie talks more in depth in her management report. The auditors were happy with our work. I just want to say I have huge gratitude to this board for providing the funding so that we could work with Creative Planning and have Karen Ponsak on call to assist us as well. I'm going to get verklempt. You all, you're wonderful. Thank you so much. That assistance made such a huge difference, and the auditors were really impressed. I mean, Addie did an amazing job, but the auditors said, like, wow, we're on top of it. And a lot of that was because of the assistance that we got through Creative Planning. So thank you very, very much for your use of those surplus funds last year to help us do that. We had, as I mentioned, we had Library Legislative Day on February 25th, and we met with Representatives Perryman, Franson, Cresha, O'Driscoll, and Senator Lucero. And we had really good conversations. It was fun. I look forward to my next one and kind of thinking about how to be more strategic about them in future and just have a bigger impact. I've begun doing my spring meetings with county boards, so have gone out to a few of them now, Morrison County and Sherburne County, and have Stearns County next week, and we'll also be heading off to Wright and Todd counties. So that's good, and I have also finally been able to start doing the small group discussions with staff and going around and visiting with people. It's something I had wanted to do in November and December, but we didn't have Addie yet, so I couldn't. So I was needed here. But it's really been nice to get out and about. Regional Library Basic System Support, we got a slight increase for 2026 of $700, and our fiscal year 2027 amount came in yesterday with a $62,550 increase for next year. So we are very happy about that. The Benton County Signatory Share will be discussed more in 11.3. The future of the Diversity, Equity, and Inclusion Team and the Public Services Teams, I've been working a lot with my staff to try to figure out how we can align those two teams to work more cooperatively and more in alignment to support public service. So PST will be able to really focus on procedures and how we make procedures as effective and findable as possible. And then the DEI team looking at that access component of how do we make our services as accessible as possible and expand access, especially for people who may have difficulty getting to the library or getting a library card. And so Kara and Jamie will be added to the group, as well as Elizabeth from Collection Development. And so the four of them will go forth, and they will make good things happen. And then there's a list of some of the activities that I did. So I do try to keep a list. If there's anything that you all are like, we don't need to know about this, or we want to know more about that, please just let me know, and I will try to make those kinds of things as useful to you as possible. For management reports, I'm not going to go through everything, but there's been a lot of really cool stuff happening, like the Meet the Community program in Buffalo, Bring Your Child to the Library in St. Michael, Rally to Read in Monticello. The Winter Reading Program just closed out. And this year, we had a total of 3,271 people register, and they completed 20,224 coupons or badges. So it is really exciting to see that. In Kara's report, she gives some quotes from some of the surveys that we did from Beanstack, which is really cool. Mm-hmm. And one of the big things we discovered was adults really love this program because it gives them a reason to just sit and read, and that they like that, just that little bit of extra incentive to get back to an activity that they really care about. Let's see. Looking at Addie's report, we've talked a lot about it in Finance Committee. Is there anything in particular you want to shout out about Addie? Okay. So, again, Addie is doing a really good job, I think, of continuing what Amy did in terms of keeping you all updated in her reports with matured CDs so that you can see exactly what it is we're doing with our investments, what's matured, what we've purchased, and that sort of thing. In Brianne's report, we have information about fund development and that. And so fundraising in 2025 exceeded what we had in 2024 for the year-end campaign. We ended up with $78,572 out of 747 gifts. For the other major fundraising areas and activities, the numbers were down, but Brianne asked me to point out to you that line of planned gifts that she has really stepped up her efforts with bequests, and we have therefore received a lot in bequests, but it's not predictable about when those are coming in. And so it's those bequest and planned giving items that end up causing that fluctuation so much within the fund development amounts. The other thing she talked about, the summer reading challenge that is going on. Item 9.2 is just some information about the appeal that she's doing for that. We received grants, just fell from the sky, from the Carnegie Foundation for up $10,000 for both Little Falls and Sauk Center because they are our Carnegie libraries. And so I've been talking with the coordinators and the patron services supervisors from those locations about how we can use those funds to try to bring those buildings up to a place where they are better serving our current needs, because they are, by definition, really historic. And so, like in Little Falls, we've talked about, can we make the top floor just a really fun reading area that where we can have people hang out and read the newest, funnest things and periodicals and stuff like that. So there's a lot of good ideas percolating about
question on that. Yeah. That's awesome, by the way. But did they say it had to be allocated certain ways, or did they say, here's $10,000, figure out the best need for it?
So I got to tell you this. So, like, at the CRIPSLA meeting in October, there was all this stuff because people were like, we got this email. Is it spam? Because they hadn't announced they were going to do it. It was just all of a sudden emails went out to library systems that have Carnegie saying, we're going to give you $10,000 for each. And we were like, this can't be real, is it? But it is. And there's not a lot of limitations on it. But in the spirit of just really paying respect to the historical nature of those Carnegies, we thought using it in a way that helps improve the atmosphere, the feeling of the space, the utility of the space for patrons is really what we want to do.
Thanks.
So is the communities of them two communities will be involved in what how they're going to spend that money?
The money is with Great River.
Okay.
But yes, definitely working with Friends groups and others about that for input and ideas and things like that.
But it has to be spent in Sauk Center and Little Falls, correct?
Yep.
Okay.
Yep, for those buildings.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. It's super cool.
Yeah.
But yeah, we were all like, it's got to be spam.
That's amazing.
The Nigerian prince is out there saying, yeah, it's wild. Jason Kirkhoff has taken over a couple of branches so far. He's our new patron services supervisor. He has taken over supervision of Royalton and Pierce. Kara continues to work with the Youth Advisory Council. And let's see, Jay talked about some of the web accessibility work that we've talked about in the past, that we are on track to meet federal statutes for web accessibility by 2027. He keeps us safe. He's doing more with the wireless health check. And also, as I had mentioned in an earlier report, we have new express checkouts that we were able to receive because we got an amazing deal. So machines that we had planned to purchase over the next 2 to 3 years, we were able to get at like a 60% discount by purchasing them before the end of 2025. So that's what we did. Jamie talked about she is still part of the Minitec Shared e-Resource Task Force, so she does a lot of good work with the state on that. And that's basically looking at what are the different databases. And these are databases for both public and school libraries. It's important to point out it's a broader picture with that. And then some other collection highlights that she wanted folks to know about. Nicole, anything you want to shout out about from your management report? Okay. All right. We've been hiring people. We have an organizational orientation, the first one of the year, coming up on Thursday. And Nicole's been planning for a supervisory training this fall. Building reports. Let me go through quickly. For Big Lake, the big thing I want to let you all know is I was informed by Hannah Klimek, the city administrator from Big Lake, that tomorrow the city council is having a workshop where they'll be talking about whether or not to just retain ownership of the current building and in order for the library to stay there. And then once the new government center is built, police would move out and potentially some other organization would move in, like Food Shelf, Senior Center, or something like that, so that we can stay where we are and keep providing really good services in that space. So I will keep you posted, but that is a really, really good thing. We've had some water intrusion issues in a few of our cities or a few of our buildings. Buffalo, they worked really hard to fix that right away.
excuse me.
Yeah, I'm tight. The one Sauk Center, they're going to be replacing their windows in order to take care of water intrusion problems. Swanville is the one that we're really concerned about. There was standing water about 1 inch to 2 inches in the basement. And so at this point in time, we used to use the basement for programming there. It is not adequate for it at this point in time. So we're working with them on what they can do for resolving those issues. The other big building thing to let you know is for Cold Spring on page 35. It talks about the council needing to accept the lease that was added to agenda. It did pass last night, I believe. The updates are scheduled to be done within the next 3 to 4 weeks. And Jay from IT has put in a request to the state to move the internet, which requires about a 6-week lead time. So at this point in time, we are more or less on track for the Cold Spring Library to move into its temporary location while the city renovates the current area. And then hopefully in 3 years or so, there will be a new library for us to move into after that temporary, after they've finished with their renovations and their other builds. So that's what I have. And then, let me keep going through 9.4.
Sure.
Okay. So then the other piece, 9.4, is just kind of a wrap-up of the 2022 to 2025 strategic plan. There's a lot of data. I don't want to take too much of your time to go over a lot of it. But I think on page 37, what's really encouraging is seeing that in some of our there were some really significant borrower gains in a number of locations that resulted in us at the going up by about 600, or sorry, no, other way. We went down by, from January 1st, 2025 to January 1st, 2026, we went up. I'm sorry, y'all. It's been a long day. The math is not mathing in my brain right now. We went up almost 600 new borrowers, and so that represents a lot of work by a lot of people. But it's good to see that in some of our busier locations because that just gets the churn moving. So excited about that.
So, Randy, we see a couple of places where they had a large decrease.
Yep.
Is there any specific reason?
So, I don't know what happened in Pierce.
Mm-hmm.
We've had a significant staffing situation there for a few months that has limited our ability to do like school outreach that normally happens in some of the other activities, and that may have been part of it. But I'm not exactly sure. What I was excited about is Elk River was only down 24, and they were closed for almost 6 weeks while they had a reflooring and reshelving project. Okay. So that's impressive, actually. They did really well with that. On the next page, some strategic plan objectives, looking at the different new borrowers. So it's been up and down. Like, we're higher than we were in 2021 and down a little bit from 2024. Not exactly sure what's going on with that, but it is definitely something we keep working on to try to figure that out. One of the things that may be impacting that is that at different times we've had big pushes with schools to do library card sign-up month activities and work with local schools to get library cards for littles, which is a big – that just makes your heart swell. That makes you excited to think about littles getting library cards. The problem with that particular objective, though, is that littles don't drive themselves to the library. They need somebody else to drive themselves to the library. And what we've discovered is that if we can't figure out a way to get the parents or caregivers involved at that front end of it, what ends up happening is it's just a non-sustainable increase. And so you have to keep doing it every single year or else you have a drop because the littles don't drive themselves. And so one of the things that we asked staff to do was to kind of reorient and think about how they can involve caregivers so that it is a slower growth but a more sustainable growth that you don't have to keep redoing every single year. So, again, trying to think how to do it in a smart and sustainable way instead of just a hamster wheel, which is what those, and again, I did the work. Like, library card sign up for littles is one of the funnest things you can do. It's awesome, but it's also a bit of a hamster wheel. So, yeah. So, yeah, more red than we want in some of these things, but we keep working on it. We just keep working on it. Any other questions with that? All right, then, in interest of time, I'm going to move to page 43. Jamie talked about the digital library increase. Awesome. A couple of these others metrics that I want to just do a shout-out on because to help explain what the numbers are. The second one down, enhance the physical collection of library materials. There's a key metric, percent of dead materials by library declines. And so that means items that aren't getting checked out. The quarter four baseline was 18%. The status at the end of 2025 was 7.53%. So what that means is we cleaned our shelves. We got rid of the chaff. We got rid of the things that weren't checking out so that we could merchandise stuff that was. And we found ways to make things that were still in really good condition check out so that they're not dead. So that drop, to explain to you what that drop is, it's a fairly decent amount of a drop, and that represents staff working really hard to clean the collection and to merchandise it so people are checking out books and they're finding things they want to check out. So that's what that means.
Cool. Good job.
Yeah, thank you.
Excellent.
And then the total current resident borrowers by regional increase, that's down a little bit. Further, so we went from 95,652 is a baseline quarter for 2024 up to 96,503 at the end of quarter four. But if you look above that, it talks about new resident borrowers was down a little bit. So what that tells me is that our borrower retention has improved. Because if we had fewer new borrowers, but our total borrowers was higher, that means we're retaining borrowers. And that is one of those key metrics that we have been chasing for years. And so this actually makes me really, really happy. I would love it if new borrowers was up too, but I want you to understand what I see in those numbers, that our borrower retention is up. And that, again, is a testament to the work that staff are doing, the outreach, and the trying to think about how to do things smart. Right? And then a couple more pages in, we get to the narrative of the strategic plan evaluation. And I've gone way over time, but some things I just want to point out. What I try to do is just capture the highlights, adjustments, what we learned, things like that. Some of the things I'm super proud of is, like, down at the bottom of page 45, goal one, expand efforts to make the library more welcoming. Objective one, eliminate late fees. We did it. We did that. It's an awesome thing. And we brought on print to go to generate revenue so that we didn't end up having a massive loss in our revenue line.
So we don't have a massive loss?
We do not. No,
not. Okay.
Because print to go, that went up when we lost fines. So
okay.
One thing I wanted to point out at the bottom of page 46, building the Great Rivers Cultural Philanthropy, one of our big accomplishments was moving to a new fund development plan platform called Kindful. Well, we just got notice a couple weeks ago that we're going to have to move again to their parent company called Bloomerang because Bloomerang bought out Kindful and now they're not supporting Kindful. But the good news is that Bloomerang's going to cost us less money. So we're happy. And they will do the same kind of good stuff. Any other questions about this?
Any questions, Fern?
All right.
A lot of stuff to take in a short period of time.
It is. It is. Thank you all for giving me time to do that.
And these were non-action items?
That's correct.
So we'll move on to the committee reports. Finance, I guess, and personnel. Finance committee met at 5 o'clock. A couple of the things that needed approval was the proposed 2027 baseline budget. I think what we came to the conclusion was that we're going to approve the baseline budget and send it back to staff to look at a couple of items that are in there to see and the uncertainty of what we don't know today versus what we might know. And then the department budget request was basically on digital materials. They did a really good job. Like, we would like $50,000, but we know where counties sit on their budgets. And, you know, if we can find it somewhere in the process, we'll do that. So that was probably the two biggest items of, you know, we did review the unassigned fund balance spending and recovery plan, and we're down to, I wrote it down, 4.2 months is what our reserves sit at right now.
We don't know what our reserves are until we get the audit back.
Until we get the audit back, but yep. We're somewheres in that. You know, so with that, I would make a motion to accept the Finance Committee report.
I can make that motion, Ed.
Okay. Is there a second? Motion been made by Bobby and seconded by Greg. Any other discussion or information wanted? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carried. And then the Personnel Committee met. They discussed a couple of items about, basically it was the digital material and staffing that, you know, might be going with that. Nothing really.
A couple policy changes.
Policy changes to staff.
The staff development policy and PTO credit for applicable experience within field.
Yeah. I mean, it was just kind of cleaning some things up. So is there any questions on that for, I see what's her name left, so. Any questions? Otherwise, we need approval on that report, too.
I'll make a motion.
Mason's been made. Okay. Is there a second?
Second.
Okay, Cindy. All right, motion's been made and seconded. Is there any other discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Carried. Fund development.
Teresa. We met last week, and we talked about a new fund development plan going forward, and we'll be discussing that more next. And two planned gift project proposals, the Charlotte West Anderson Fund for four standalone study booths, so they look like phone booths. Standalone, so that you can have like two people,
one to two.
It'd
be tight for two, but
yeah,
if they like each other.
And that's a $30,000 from the West Anderson Trust, and the other one is Read to Grow, and that one up to $300 in materials for Elk River. And it's a mentor program for children who are reading below grade level.
Okay.
Yeah, that's kind of it.
Then library development plan committee?
Yeah, that's RF.
RF?
So the committee met yesterday and kind of went over, began the meeting by going over the prior plan that was put in place in the past and kind of talking about discussing what to kind of keep from that plan, maybe what to not keep from that plan for the future and what to add to it as time goes by. A lot of the themes were about how to maintain service or improve service on some of the, I would guess, branches that are having some challenges, whether humidity in the basement or something like that. And a bunch of, you know, folks are going to look forward to kind of, for the next meeting, present on Some items, probably the one that comes to mind that I scribbled down would be kind of reviewing the branch agreement, if you want, boilerplate form, to kind of make sure that the great regional river library is basically putting in writing what it can actually offer in terms of services in these agreements. I don't know if I missed anything from whoever was there.
Good.
Okay. Thank you for that.
And then Terrell's going to do
And something. Terrell will do Central Minnesota Library Exchange.
Oh, Holly, you might have things you want to add. In. Actually, when they said something, it was like, oh, man, what did we talk about? Actually, a couple of, you know, we talked a little bit about the Library Day and some of the legislative items. As you may recall, we've recently adopted a strategic plan. So really spending some time on going through both the website, but then how to be doing outreach and education about what is being done and trying to set up some networks. Because as you may recall, it was a little fuzzy, kind of. Would that be a good way to say it? About what sometimes CMLE does. And with that, looking at what the grant cycle will be. And you might want to add something there. I mean, it's, but honestly, since resources come on, there's a lot more structure and with the strategic plan. And if you haven't gone to the website, it is literally just CMLE.org. It's worth going and looking at. They're actually trying to do a better job of showing the same items.
And going towards the grants and scholarships for the libraries or for individuals with the library who needs grant, scholarships or whatever, there's funding available, and they're strongly encouraging people to apply. I think there was an issue last quarter where the emails for awardships were in spam, so we had a lot of people come back saying we never heard. So everybody got new email addresses. All the board members did going forward, which CMLE.org, your name, and then CMLE.org. But I had the numbers written down. Of course, I didn't bring that piece of paper of how much money was awarded last quarter, but it's going well. It's
Yeah, and kind of with that, I mean, taglines can be helpful. So, you know, empowering libraries, connecting communities, running a library can be overwhelming. We're here to lighten the load, but kind of training and professional development, digital resources, and grant opportunities, and there's easy-to-find places on the website. So hopefully that will start helping with that, as long as it doesn't keep adding up in people's spam. But spend some time talking about that. But
Well, it's going well.
Awesome. All right. Thanks for that, Terrell and Holly. Then we're going to move on to unfinished business. We're going to move 11.3 to this part before our closed session, and that is the Benton County signatory contribution. It's just a verbal update, and I think we have Commissioner Benoit here that wants to talk a little bit about some of that stuff. So you can grab a chair there, Pam, if you want.
Hello, everybody. Just to introduce myself, I'm Commissioner Benoit, Benton County, District 5. I think there was some misunderstanding or, I don't know, miscommunication, whatever it might be, that the last meeting I came to was led to believe that we might be wanting to exit and or had some issues with the library, and that is not the case. However, as most of the commissioners sitting on this board know, that as counties, we're kind of strapped for what we have for funding for a lot of different things. So basically, our board is asking for what each library costs to run. As we all know, that the public is looking for accountability and knowing where their tax dollars are going. And we don't know where, as Commissioner Clark brought up at the last meeting, we don't know what's coming next year. So after doing some conversing with our attorney to figure out what we could do to cut funds in certain areas, all six counties currently pay above the MOE. And our question was that we have one library, and this is not by all means the proper way to do this, and we know that, but the only way to come up with what libraries on average per contribution is costing each county, we did some math, and Benton County has one library, pays $546,570. Morrison County has five libraries, and they pay a contribution of $528,428. And if you divide that by the five libraries, that's $105,685 per library. And I know that's not how this is supposed to work, but this will give you kind of an idea of what we're thinking or where our thought process came from. Sherburne County currently pays $1,467,012 for three libraries. So their three libraries are costing them $489,004 per library. Stearns County has 11 libraries, and they currently pay $2,321,618. And if you divide that by 11, that's $211,5618. Todd County has four libraries, pays $362,537. If you divide that by four, that's $90,634.25 per library. Wright County also pays $2,414,689 per library, or for nine libraries, and per library that comes to $268,298.77 per library. Now, when Brandy came and talked to our board, it was brought to our attention that our contributions also go to St. Cloud and Royalton, which we're not disputing in the least. However, if we are contributing to all three libraries, even though two are not in our county, then why are we cutting just from the Benton County Library? There's lots of others. And Brandy brought up the fact that there's federated and consolidated library systems. There's 12 library systems in the state of Minnesota, and six are federated, six are consolidated library systems. So we're consolidated. And after going to a bunch of AMC conferences and talking to a bunch of other county commissioners, their library systems, consolidated library systems, their contributions they're making to the library system goes back to their counties to support their libraries and their counties. So, and what we actually came about to ask was that we wanted extra information. And that extra information is to find out, because I would assume that any commissioner sitting on this board, that if somebody came up to you in your county and wanted to know what each individual library in your county was costing you, you'd want to be able to have those answers for them. And currently, we don't have that, because we're being told that $500,000+ that we are paying at Benton County is going for three libraries. Well, now try to explain to your constituents that you only have one library, and they're going to cut the hours on one library, but yet you contribute to three. So those are the things, and I don't know if anybody has any questions for me or whatever. It was also brought up at our meeting that that Morrison, Benton, and Todd County only have one representative on the board, while Sherburne, Stearns, and Wright have three, four, and five representatives on the board. So it's almost like the other three counties don't have a whole lot of say if they're outvoted. So, but that is what we're asking for. Nobody has come out and finally said that we are not going to contribute the extra $6,624, but we want answers to be able to give to our constituents, which means, and the last library board meeting I was at, it was a unanimous vote by this board not to look for those numbers. And as a county, when we do, I'll give an example, when we get grants from the state of Minnesota for our health department, those people have to track their time by 15-minute increments to be able to suffice the stuff that's needed for those grant dollars from the state of Minnesota. And it's the same thing with our ditch. Every ditch, if our ditch inspector goes out to seven ditches and inspects seven ditches, he has to clock his time for every seven ditches in one day that he goes to, because that gets billed to those ditches themselves. So for the board to come up and say that they don't have those numbers, or they don't think that it warrants looking into what each individual library costs and what's spent on each individual library, our board is taken back by that, because we are fiduciary responsible for all the dollars that come into the county and how they're spent. So that's all I have to say, unless someone has a question.
Any questions or comments?
I just have one. Don't we kind of base it more off of the number of borrowers for each county than kind of putting the reliance on just the buildings and
stuff? Yeah.
Yeah.
But that's all. I think we look at that number.
Well, the buildings, the furniture and fixtures, the electric, the heat, that's all paid by the city.
By the cities.
Oh, no, it's not paid
everybody,
by the library board.
Everybody here understands that. It's the tax capacity, population, and usage are the three driving factors on your county.
I just didn't hear you mention that, so I know that that's a factor.
And I know that the contributions for 2026, if you total it all up, is $7,640,000, and the MOE is only $5,261,49. So across all six counties, we're paying $2,379,905 above what the state requires.
I think, Mr. Chair, I mean, remember, we've got what our agreement is between each other, and that's what this is based off of, not the other. And as you heard, we actually have a very efficient way of running, because our collections and our people are built off each other. And like, I used to live in, you know, part of your district, and we walked across the river to come over because that was our library. And same with Sherburne County on the side, right? So I mean, we have to think of it more as how we're working together, which would make some of the numbers that you're asking about hard to do. And obviously, as you know, lots of different ways we get our money requires different kinds of accountability, and but the agreement that we have is what we base it on, not what somebody else does. And like, the metro area is done differently. You know, it's just done differently in lots of places. I will say, since I've come on, and I'm not one of the longer term members, I've been even more impressed. I've always loved our libraries, right? Really at the efficiency, what our staff does, the way they've looked to find ways to make sure we're getting the best use out of our dollars. And I get that we could divide up by buildings, but it doesn't really work that way, right? There's some buildings where they're only open a couple days a week for a few hours. There's others. There's lots of people coming in that we don't even have the ability to know, including this one, right? We don't know for sure how many people are where they're from in terms of when they're using the space. So it's really more about us all together and how we're coming up to the numbers and what we're able to do. So I guess those are a few of my thoughts anyways.
You know, the answers are there in the financials and how it whole runs. But we can't peg down exactly, because we own all the books. We all own all the books. So we can't peg down like collection costs to a particular library. And obviously what's in different libraries is a significant different parts of the collection for storage. You know, I mean, when we're looking at how we're storing it all. I mean, what's in this building is a lot more than what's in Big Lake. What's in Elk River is a heck of a lot more than what's in Big Lake. So you just can't, that's why the cost analysis is based on this very complicated thing rather than per library. I mean, if they were independent little operations and each one had to maintain its own collection, yeah, I could tell you down to the dime what it is. But you in Benton County own all those books. And so do we. So we can't, and obviously, you know, most of that, one small chunk of this wouldn't even fit in the Big Lake Library, you know, because the Big Lake Library is not as big as this room, if I'm right, I think, square footage-wise. So
34,000 to 4,000.
It's pretty small. So you wouldn't have that. That's kind of the thing. I mean, it's just so, that's why it's so hard to peg down. And the people that are getting the library card down at the Big Lake Library are accessing all these books and accessing all those books that are over in Elk River, too. You know, it's just, will Mom drive you over there, or will you drive yourself over there, or, you know, if you're really ambitious, ride your bike through the trails.
Or somebody going to bring the books, like our grandkids are going to be back, you know, you can request them. For spring break, and I was looking at where the books I know that they're going to want are, and I put on the hold, and somebody's going to bring them here. Yeah, and I think the other thing we just have to remember is when this building was built, the agreement, I know you've heard all this before, but the agreement between the communities right here was this was going to be the building, not the collection, but the building for the surrounding communities. And then our smaller ones, our ones that are in communities that have much smaller populations, were, it was promised they were going to be able to stay alive. Now, they might not have a whole lot of hours, but the stories we hear from people who use those spaces, oh my goodness, this is where they have community. This is where they, you know, just so many different things. And so, you know, it's a lot more fluid. And, you know, if Benton somehow was alone and only was doing Benton, I mean, that would be hard. Or if Stearns was only doing Stearns, that would be hard. You just have to think about it a little bit differently than perhaps, you know, maybe the look is at it.
And it's different than some other group participation things. Like, you know, I mean, we have a forensic lab, right, that we're involved in that is actually run by Anoka County. And Anoka County bears a lot of it, but we spend money on it. But a lot of that has to do with, what are we actually putting into the forensic lab? I can give you those numbers very accurately because, you know, I have X number of DWIs, I have X number of these. I can tell you what the Juvenile Center Committee, I can tell you what my contribution is exactly for that because I know how many beds we rent and I know what our percentage is and what we're putting into it. So I could tell you exactly how many people we detained at the juvenile facility, and I could give you a cost per inmate, right, for that. But we don't have that kind of, because once again, everybody owns all this stuff. I mean, you know, we're not paying, we're not able to break it down to that, you know, if that makes any sense at all.
Oh, I mean, it does make sense. It just doesn't, I mean, and we're not asking cost per person who visits the library. What is the operating cost for each library? What I mean, it's like I said, again, we believe that it is no different than our ditches or any of our grant funding that comes from the state of Minnesota.
It's entirely different than that. It's entirely different than that because, once again, we all collectively own the entire collection. We all collectively have a chunk of these buildings.
So then the other consolidated libraries that are out there, which there's six of them, how can they have it? Because they all collectively own their collections, too.
Which consolidated library are you talking about?
There's six different consolidated library systems out there.
Yeah, and which ones
they are, if that's what you want to know. East Central Regional Library System, we're one of them. Kitchimagee Regional Library. Lake... Agassa is one, Northwest Regional Libraries, Pineland Library System, They're all consolidated library systems.
Do you?
I've never seen their financials.
So, well, I was going to say, Brandy could probably speak more. There's differences between each of these systems.
Yeah.
Is it based on the joint powers agreement on them libraries? Right.
So each of those libraries is going to have their own joint powers agreement. It's also, while they can be consolidated, there's different levels of that consolidation. So consolidated doesn't necessarily mean that they also have a floating collection like we have. So especially like in Kitchigami right now, in Beltrami County, they have had significant challenges around funding to the extent that they cut almost half of the funding for the Bemidji and one other library. And so they're currently, while they're negotiating that, they're funding it through reserves in order to try to figure out what to do with that. But my understanding is that they manage their collection differently than we do. And so that's one of the challenges that we have with Great River is, and within the state, is it's hard to figure out exact apples to apples kinds of things, because you have the federated versus consolidated, you have 12 different joint powers agreements, you have floating collections and non-floating collections. It's a hodgepodge, and I'm not saying that trying to make excuses. It's just that everybody does things a little bit differently based on how they were created, on their joint powers, and on things like that.
And you have staff that are covering all the libraries. So you have HR, and we can't prorate her to what she's spending her amount of time on it, Benton County versus Stearns County versus Sherman County, the same with the county, and the same with our executive director, the IT. Like, then you're asking them to document their times minute by minute, like you said, a grant funded position. They don't have the time or the person power to do that. I mean, does that make sense?
Yeah, some of what you're saying makes sense, but I'm just telling you, our board is actually looking for a breakdown because we're the ones who have to answer to the constituents. Mm-hmm. Where is the $540,000 going to? So I don't know. Ed can probably speak to this, but it doesn't sound like the board's going to budge till they get answers on where the money's going.
That's what I got out of the meeting today. But I also get out of the meeting that they should come and sit on the funding part of this library system, on how it's operated. Like Greg said,
or just read it.
Go and see how many things are actually owned. I mean, yeah, I don't really believe that management can get that breakdown to do it. Maybe you could, but it'd be a lot of work. And like she said, you know, like, so we did labor negotiations. Well, as long as you brought up in the call. Mm-hmm. So that was for everybody in the whole library system that was in the union. So if Foley had one or two people in the union, how is she going to break those days down that we sat in negotiations? Or maybe half the people in the Foley Library. I don't know how many are one in the Foley Library. So she's going to have to draw that out of her time or out of her wages. I know what they want, but I don't think it's a realistically request that we can offer.
It's, to build on that, it's also all the technology, all of the digital, the people who are driving the books report, the people are processing the books. They're processing it for all of us. There isn't a good way to do that kind of breakdown, right. Which is why, again, you know, we're less than half. I mean, we're less than half per capita in the state. I mean, we're a really good value. And it's largely because of the way our staff and our technology, and you could see over time what's changed. And, you know, every commissioner serves on the finance committee. We all talk about how hard our other budgets are. So yeah. it's one enterprise. It's not separate enterprises.
Okay. And I think you have to realize, too, you can do digital things. You know, these people don't have to physically go to the Foley Library to take, you know, advantage of everything that the library has to offer. So I think that, again, go back to that borrower, you know, how many library card users are in Benton County, and kind of take that back. And I think they also need to probably read that joint powers agreement. They probably have never looked at it. I've read it. Maybe that would help understand, I think, a little bit more of how the budget is made up and how they come up with deriving some of those numbers. So
okay.
That would be my recommendation. Is, like I said, you don't have to physically come to the Foley Library to take advantage of everything that we have to offer.
It's
go ahead.
In the reports.
So it seems to me those are kind of two different questions. There is the question that a constituent can come and say, hey, I have a question about how are you fiduciary responsibly dealing with this money? And there is a separate question, which is, I would like a separate accounting system or a separate way of reporting where you can break down per library, per cost, whatever. And I think this is where maybe the miscan of communication is going on. It's not about concern about, you know, we do not want to disclose how this money is being spent or whatever. It's just this is how the accounting system is done. This is how it's being reported. And those are two kind of very different things, and I think it would be important to explain to a constituent that comes that this money really is going to the libraries. It's not people are going to Cancun to vacation with it. But it's just hard to kind of separate this specific, you know, division of... and I would urge them not to say, therefore, I don't like how the way you're reporting this, and so I'm going to cut you $6,000 short or something. But rather, maybe as the chair said... hey, why don't you guys come over and meet with the people and see why this cannot be reported the way you would like it reported?
Well, and I do know that our board would have liked to have all come tonight to the meeting, but because it wasn't listed as a work session for our board, that
wasn't
a possibility.
Yeah, you
so, that. And my understanding is after tonight's meeting, the next one isn't, your next meeting isn't until May.
But May is the next regular meeting, yes.
So, I mean, and granted, I think it would be nice to set up so that the whole board can come and take a look at things so they know and understand what's going on that could change the situation. But now we're on a deadline of April 1st. So.
Well, and meetings can happen. I mean, it probably is not the most efficient thing to do it as part of our board meeting anyways. And it is listed on... the board agenda. Now, granted, all of us serve on so many things that why are any of us going to go look at another agenda item? But, you know, I think if there's other questions or conversations, those could certainly be had. I guess the real question is, it is not feasible to get the data the way you're hoping, in part because we also as human beings get to float between all of these. So even with the value for, let's just use me, myself, and I, not even the rest of my family, if I'm going into one of the other branches, which I do, in the other counties, how would we even break that up? Because I can go do that, and I can take books out, and I can use the spaces. Yeah. So we don't, you know, as you were pointing out, we don't have a good way to break that down. What we can tell you is all of us take our fiduciary responsibility very significantly. And It has, you know, again, we're trying to show what that good value is to our taxpayers. And, you know, for those of us, including you, right, you and me, this is the primary place where your and my constituents maybe are physically going to check out books, but it's not the only place, probably. And again, with digitally, among others, part of how I talk about this with my folks is we get much better value. We get to leverage resources because we do things in this way. We get to build off of expertise. You know, we don't have to have six different human resources directors, right, if we each had separate ones. We just get to really add value in a way they might not see otherwise. The other thing that's hard, Pam, I think, and is we have so many pain points right now going on, right? You guys have got some pretty big pain points, and it's hard sometimes for me, like even just across the river, look at it this saying, boy, you got a lot going on. The biggest issue probably is not the 6,600. You know, we'd like you to, I think, for all of you, for your board, to believe that we're taking our responsibilities really significantly, you know, to heart.
But And I get what you're saying, but like you and Greg and whatever other commissioners are sitting on this board, when they see the numbers for the library, the constituents are going to come to that meeting, and Ed can contest to this, mm-hmm. and say, well, you're paying $546,000. Now, try to explain that to them. I understand what you're saying.
I think you understand what you're saying. I think Brandy and Karen before her do a good job of explaining how this works. So, you know, if you're looking for presentations at your board meetings about that, I mean, my experience has been it's been really very good when they come and talk at our meetings, and then it's broadcast. I mean, it is hard. Like, our tiny ones, let's say we blow this whole thing up, I don't know how our tiny ones around the region would survive, and yet they're fundamentally important, and they can get all the same books that I can get.
Yeah. Yes.
Question. Kind of naive here. Pam had mentioned the acronym MOE, that we're $2 million over. What's recommended? Mm-mm. What does that stand for?
The maintenance of effort.
And it's not that it's recommended. That's what the state requires as the least amount.
And that was the least amount, which is $2 million less.
And that was set when? The last time it was set.
So there was
11, I believe.
Yep, there was legislation passed at the state level that says that maintenance of effort is based on what counties and municipalities pay in 2011. And again, I do want to clarify, maintenance of effort is not, like, the state does not look at a county or a city and say, this is what we think you need to pay in order to have good library services. That is not what maintenance of effort is. What maintenance of effort is the state saying that over time, the state has invested, and I talked recently with the state librarian who said the state has over time invested upwards of nearly $1 billion into shared library resources for the state. And so that looks like the regional library basic system support that we talked about earlier. That's a grant that comes from the state that makes up about 18% of our budget. 17? Okay. A significant chunk of our budget comes from regional library basic system support that is a grant from the state. And they also provide MnLINC interlibrary loan throughout the state. They provide the ELM databases that are used by school libraries, public libraries, many others, and lots of other things that the state provides. And so basically the state says, we have this whole umbrella suite of library services that we provide for public libraries, school libraries, academic libraries, special libraries, and for a county or municipality to have access to that suite, you need to be investing in public libraries locally. And that is what maintenance of effort is. And so
just haven't updated it, and it's only for a fraction of what our budget is. If we actually only did that, probably have a lot of people up in arms.
there would be a lot more than 6 hours on the line. Yeah.
Well, Brandy, correct me if I'm wrong. At least the explanation I was getting, that is actually what each county is statutorily required to pay for you to be able to get other state funding.
For that and
those particular ones.
For those particular things, yes, and for the residents of that municipality or county to be able to access that whole other suite of services.
Right.
And that is different than our joint powers.
Right.
Yep.
Right.
Any other questions, comments?
And we are running better. We are running better and providing better services, and we're not having to we don't have the Hennepin County $40 million shortfall to provide the services they're providing today. They were talking about it at AMC. They're short $40 million in their library system.
Uh-huh.
That's, you know, we don't have that. We have pretty reasonable compared to a lot of other things we spend money on. I mean, I think, you know, what we get for our dollar is pretty darn good. And I have never, not that I've been on the board since, you know, that long, but in the years I've been on the board here, I've never had anybody come to our board meeting and complain that our library service, we spent too much money on. I've had people come in and say, we'd like to see more. I've had people call me and tell me they'd like to see more. I've had people call recently and say that if they close down, if they don't fund the Big Lake Library the way that they are now, we want you to spend more on it. You know, I've had all of that. I've never had anybody say, I don't want the library system we have, you know. I would probably be more concerned if I had that happening on a regular basis. But that's not, I get calls on a lot of other things they don't want me to spend money on, but it hasn't been this library. Mm-hmm. And I hardly ever get insulted over the library, actually, when it's right down to it, which I kind of like, you know.
Probably not quite the same thing that happened to me when I got on the board and I wasn't on the library. You know, I got a lot of people that said, you know, I think we were spending $579,000 at that time. And they said, that's a lot of money. How come we're spending that much money? And so I did quite a bit of complaining to Karen about smaller libraries, especially in Morrison County and that. And Karen explained that they're grandfathered in. You cannot, you know, the state is not going to let those libraries fall through the cracks. And that's why the maintenance of effort. So when I got on the library board, it was like, okay, we got to get this down to where it was. After you explained to them that, you know, this is what it cost, and you look at the joint powers agreement. I didn't design the joint powers. It was long before any of us were here. And could it be looked at again? Yeah, but it takes a pretty big effort to get out of a joint powers, you know, the way it's set up. And after, you know, 5 years or so, I didn't hear anything more about the libraries. It was like, you know, my constituent said, well, it's another way of doing business. Maybe it's there's something else we don't like. You know, they probably turn to human services or, you know, some of that stuff instead. Sometimes I think constituents like to complain about a lot of things, and if you satisfy them with one, they move on to the next one.
Mm-hmm. Would it be helpful to highlight to your constituents that our regional library was, Brandy brought it up on page 22, that our per capita average is $20.43 per capita versus the state average of $48.59 per capita.
Yep, and I have that. And actually, Shelley from the Foley Library put a three-page letter together for the board, too. I will say this much, and maybe Ed will agree with me or disagree with me, but I think it would be good for the rest of the board to be able to come and meet with the board so that they can ask questions and you all can understand, they can understand what you all are going through on this board too, so.
I don't know about the whole board, but I could see, there could be a meeting. I mean, if they want, anybody could come in and meet, but I mean.
You'd have to post that.
Yeah.
If you're all coming.
Yeah.
Well, that's why they couldn't come tonight, Greg, because only two can be at a meeting at one time.
Yeah, I know. You have to post it if you're going to show up.
Yeah.
Well, you could sit in the audience, but if people want to interact, I mean, anybody could go to anybody else's meeting.
We were advised that we couldn't do that.
Yeah. I think given what you're asking about, though, I don't know if you need the whole board here to do this. I mean, I don't know if the whole board would want to do it, but those kinds of communications are important. So,
I know mine wouldn't.
Did they ask those questions when staff came and presented? Like, did the commissioners ask anything?
Well,
at the
that's
time?
What we requested of Brandy, was that we wanted a breakdown. And then when it came back to this board, it was a unanimous vote to not even look into it. So, and that's what was relayed back to our board, which is what created the issue.
Well, it's not really a vote to not look into it. It's a vote to say we can't do it because, once again, we all own all the books.
I understand that, but that is not how it was portrayed at the meeting, because I sat here that night when Brandy asked for the board's approval to continue to look further to see if she could break it down. It was a unanimous vote by the board to not have her go.
Well, yeah, that's because we understand we can't do it, right? I mean, what I think about how this library system operates is a lot different now than when I first looked at the library system. Mm-hmm. I didn't spend that much time on it because Lisa had it. And I thought they gave really good reports, and I didn't have to delve into all the details of it, and I trusted the people that were doing the work. But, you know, once you sit down and actually go through it all, you realize, okay, it runs this way because that's how it runs. You know, I mean, it's just... this is how the organization functions, and it's, and if I thought there was fat here to trim, I sure as hell would, 100%, you know. And that's what I'd love to find some place where we have fat to trim, you know, because I'm $80 million short on just two projects in my county, and that doesn't, and that's just two projects. I'm $80 million short right now. If I could come up with $1 million here and $1 million there, I'd love to, but I'm not finding that fat to trim. I can't cut from a whole lot of places. I can't tell my employees to take half off their money or anything like that. That would probably not be a good plan, but can't really come up with anything. And this organization just isn't fat. It really is not fat, that way, I guess.
I mean, and I think from Greg's point, from what I've seen when I first came in the library to now, the number of positions that were trimmed and the consolidation that went forth to not make these signatory contributions larger than they were is pretty good. And, you know, I think it was in Shelley's letter, our per capita consumption is $13 and some odd cents. So we're even below, Benton County's even below what... the average of the Great River is.
I think Wright's the one that gets hammered the most, if I remember correctly. You know, if you do all the math and you figure out per use and all that stuff, that Wright County is the one that...
Yeah. Plus with your great tax capacity.
Really, I just wanted to say thank you
I want your tax cards.
Keep building them big houses in Wright County. Thank you very much.
It's not my house. So,
somebody is.
Yeah. Anything else? Any other questions, comments?
I guess my question, because Pam, I don't want you to go away, especially thinking I'm like, why would you come to board? This is what they're going to hear. If everybody's here, this is what they're going to hear, which is probably pretty close to what Brandy told you when she came to the board meeting. So is there something different? I don't know if there's something different. Like, is it going to be helpful? I just don't know if it's going to be helpful.
First or whatever.
I personally think, because for me to come and explain it and not sitting on this board is not going to be an easy feat to do to the rest of the board members. And we've been, I think without actually understanding from the people who sit on the actual board, I don't know that their minds are going to change. And the biggest problem with that, and what I heard at our board meeting, and Ed, please correct me if I'm wrong, is the biggest thing is that when Brandy came to our board meeting, she said that our contributions go to ultimately three different libraries because, and granted, my area is in St. Cloud, so they probably do use the St. Cloud Library. They probably use Foley and then Royalton also. But this board made the decision to cut from only the Foley Library, not the three branches that were claimed that the funding was going to. So that, I think, is where some of the misconception is coming.
But we could have 15, 20 minutes at our next meeting or mm-hmm. or something else.
I mean, Commissioner Kapfner, you're quite new. Have you had them discussions when library comes up at your county board?
No, not this detailed at all. I think Randy Wincher was on mm-hmm. for a long time, and Randy, I think, did a good job.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And I think that helped. If there was any taming to be done, that really helped. That's what I believe.
I mean, Brandy was at our board this morning, and there was exactly...
How many questions were asked after you were done?
Oh, that's right, none. Everybody said, thank you, we love the job you're doing, and that was it. Mm-hmm. And nobody else on my board wants to come here. Nobody even tried to take this job from me when we doled out jobs earlier this year.
So nice.
That's not that it's a bad job. Nobody's concerned about it, right? We don't have those issues.
I think it'd be good though to allow their board. That way they can put the fire out.
I think they just want to be heard.
Yes.
Is what I'm feeling. You just want to be heard.
Wow. Yeah.
Everybody wants to be heard. Whether it's right or wrong,
they'd understand. Yeah.
Still want to be heard.
I think they'd understand the reasoning behind not being able to break the budgets apart if you kind of really understood this joint powers agreement and how everybody works together to try to keep the costs down and things like that. I think hearing all of the stories and understanding how all of these commissioners work together is really pretty powerful. If you look at, you know, the $20 versus the $40, that probably makes the huge difference in how this is being operated. So I think they just need to probably get out of their mind that this is, we only have one library, why are we paying? It's not that. We can't slice the cat that way. You know, that's not how we're looking at it. That I understand where they're coming from, but that's not the way to look at it. Does that make sense? And
correct me if my thinking is, I think one of our commissioners really doesn't see much value in libraries because he thinks everything's digital and on your phone. And, you know, I don't know how much.
Well, I don't know that I got that impression.
Okay, that's kind of what
I mean,
I get
the impression from today's meeting that everybody
the library will be closing in 30 minutes. If you are applying for a library card, please come to the checkout desk at this time. So, thank you for using Great River Regional Library services.
I don't want to hold up any more time of you guys' meeting. You have other things that you need to do here. But you just need to decide, let us know if as a whole of a board, that you want to do a town work session or you want the whole board. We just need to make sure that we have it posted in time so that the entire board can.
3 days.
So I think. I mean, it certainly makes a lot of sense, and right now we're not scheduled to have something else, which means just we're going to name it. It's going to cost us money to do it.
Mm-hmm.
Right? It's going to cost us both staff and the rest of it, which I don't have a problem, but just so you know, I mean, us having a meeting that's not scheduled is going to cost money.
We don't have to bring the whole board.
Well, that's what I was trying to bring up before. Is there a way we could do something that was...
Well, and you can also do it in April during your regular board, or before your regular board meeting.
That's in May. We don't
or
have
in
a,
May.
Yeah, but if you feel like that's okay, I mean, like people, I mean, we obviously all love what we're doing, and we're trying to do a good job. And if you think, whenever makes sense. I was just at the what I was asking was, do we have anything else for a work session? That's what I was asking.
Okay.
And if not, if you think May is okay, I mean, I know
we can work on it. Yeah, we can work on it.
So we do have, I guess, in essence, a time to move on. We do have something that was on the board agenda last time about cutting the $6,600 mm-hmm. from the Foley Library. Do we want to go back and maybe we can hold that off for a little while?
Sure.
I think that'd be reasonable.
Okay.
Yeah, I think so.
Why don't we make it till the end of May? Because I know you had something with when things are due, but so we'd just be making an exception, which I think is fine.
So the first...
Say we can.
Right. The first quarter's payment is due by the end of March, but then the second quarter's payment would be due by the end of June. So that's kind of the timeline that we're looking at. Correct? Am I right, Addie? Sorry, y'all. We don't have a closing custodian right now, so I'm texting with my staff about closing up since I'm going to have to set the alarm. So I am unfortunately multitasking.
So you're saying that we could go till the second payment is due in June?
If that's the board's wishes, sure.
Okay.
We can do it. Let's do that.
Is that consensus around the board?
Do we need a motion?
I suppose we need a motion.
Well, I was going to look at that. If you did a motion at the last meeting,
Yeah, there was a motion, I believe.
Yeah, if you took action at the last meeting to set the boundary, then it would be, I think, in the best interest to take action as well to extend that.
Okay. To extend it to end of June?
Mm-hmm. So moved.
So moved. Is there a second? Bobby seconds it. Any other discussion?
Huh? 17th, I think. Something like that. No, 19th.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Carried.
Thank you all for your, and thank you.
The 19th.
Yeah.
I believe,
yes.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you, Pam.
Pam,
thank you.
Oh,
I think
we
need a calendar invite.
There's just, I need to do the last evaluation. I can do that 12.1 real quick, and
okay.
Then we go into closed session.
We'll do 12.1 quickly, and then we'll go into closed session.
Okay.
All right. And just so folks know, we are going to get another loud closing announcement at 15:45, and then at 17:55. It's all okay. Our staff have got it. They're going to lock doors and stuff, so if we go over the time limit, I can take care of closing everything down in the library. We'll just have folks head out through the front door. So we're all good. So item 12.1 is the project evaluation. You might recall in 2025, we started trying to be, as a leadership team, trying to be more systematic about how we were evaluating pilot projects and other things like that so that both we're doing the evaluations and we're making a record of it that is findable by the public and staff and the board. So this is the one we're doing now, and it is we call them the ARPA laptops, so funds that were provided through the American Rescue Plan Act that were used to purchase laptops with the notion that we would use those laptops in libraries that had study rooms so that people could do virtual appointments, whether that was a medical appointment or an interview or whatever they needed. It could be a Zoom for someone who was just isolated and didn't have Wi-Fi sufficiently fast broadband or didn't have the technology at home. So we spent the money. We purchased 13 laptops for 12 locations that are listed on page 50. This was approved by the board at the July 2021 meeting. Overall, however, this has not been a success. It was kind of a use case in that we can think something's going to be an awesome idea, and the community partners with whom we're collaborating also can think it's an awesome idea. Like, we reached out to CenterCare and Central Minnesota Mental Health and some other places, and we said, we have this idea, and they were all like, that is amazing. That is the best thing ever. But there were some, and that the intensity of that enthusiasm in hindsight probably blinded us to some of the things we should have asked about that were barriers. So, for example, we had to have it where there were study rooms, but there's not necessarily a strong correlation between libraries that have study rooms and libraries that have low wireless or low broadband. And we had to have it during open hours when people could get into it, but that wasn't necessarily the times of the day that people wanted to go see to have a virtual medical appointment or something like that. So in spite of our efforts, in spite of the efforts of our community collaborators, it did not work terribly well. People tried, but I firmly believe, and you try a good thing, and you do the best you can, and you evaluate, and if it doesn't work, you adjust. And so the recommendation is to not replace these machines. Once they are end of life, they just go away. And so kind of looking, because that was the question. We got the funds initially through the grant or the ARPA Act. And so the question was, do we use operating funds to replace them? And the evaluation is no, we do not. It was not sufficiently effective for that.
There was a lot of good ARPA ideas that
failed.
Mm-hmm. I don't think anybody's going to continue to fund them afterwards, because there's a lot of stuff that was just thrown out
mm-hmm.
to a whole variety of areas, and Some of it was great, and some of it was just kind of like, okay, well, here we are.
We tried.
And a shout-out, like, staff tried really hard. Our coordinator in Buffalo, she did so much outreach. She talked to so many different community partners and just minimal use. And again, it's just sometimes what we think is going to be awesome, people are actually like, maybe not.
That kind of distinguishes from the hot spots, et cetera. Right. I mean, you had some other things that were really helpful for a whole lot of people.
Yep, right? Exactly.
You think people would rather set something up, but, you know, you just do this. And, you know, you can, particularly like medical appointments, so many people do medical appointments on their phones.
Yeah.
Creepy, but that's besides.
We don't, like, Jamie doesn't want me to say this out loud, but because hotspots are really hard. They're a lot of work on the back end to make them available to the public. But they are something that gets used so much.
They work.
But people really appreciate them.
Yeah, absolutely. Sure. ARPA laptops, that was not the case, so we will not be using operating funds to repurchase.
Okay. That makes sense.
All right.
And with that, we need to go through the checklist for closed session. You've got it right there. So,
Stating on the record. Yeah.
What's that?
Permitting the closure and subjects to be discussed. Close the meeting for labor negotiation strategy pursuant to Minnesota Statute 13D.03.
I need
a motion for that?
Yep. I'll move.
For a second? Bobby seconds it. Thanks for everything. Letting the executive committee do that. I think staff will appreciate that. Otherwise, they could wait all the way to May to get their back pay.
Yeah. All right. And Addie's calling Patty in so that we can finish. And Patty can check our work to make sure we did everything right. Patty is the Great River Archivist. She knows the open meeting laws inside and out. She is the other half of my brain.
Patty makes this place
operate. She's very good.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. 100%. That's what our assistant county administrator does. She makes it run.
Yeah.
I did.
The library will be closing in 5 minutes. The internet stations are now closed. Please conclude your wireless sessions at this time. Thank you for using Great River Regional Library Services.
I did announce that already.
Okay. Yeah. All right.
7:54.
Look at that.
So I think all I need to do is the board open forum.
So 13:14. Board open forum. Anything?
Have to
sit
back.
Okay. Yep.
Nope, it's still there. It is nice to see so much meat.
Yeah.
Anything, any important news or anything like that?
I was talking to a mom who homeschools her son, and she could not say enough good things about Great River Regional Library. And she went to all the library. You know, she was checking out the majority, like from Elk River to St. Michael to Monticello, and she would find co-ops of other homeschool families that worked together, and it was a good connection for her, and it was very positive. And I asked her if I could share this at our meeting, and she's like, absolutely. Okay. So it was very positive.
Can I share something, too?
Absolutely.
I am on the Rally to Read, which Marla Sherber is a part of. And let me tell you, she goes way up and beyond her call of duty. We were at that event that day. We brought our book bus. And she just went up and beyond. And she's amazing and is doing so many different initiatives for Rally to Read to promote literacy in Monticello. Should be really proud of her. Really proud of her.
I got to supervise her for a long time. Marla's wonderful.
Yes,
she's wonderful.
Anybody else?
As a person who participated in the winter read, I'd like to commend the people who selected the
hats. I enjoy mine very much.
Okay.
Especially while still below zero.
We need a picture.
Or the website. I have a Facebook video.
Okay. Okay. Seeing nothing else, we will adjourn the meeting at